All right, welcome back into the Chase and Big Joe Show, the second hour, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase McCabe right in the middle of his TED Talk out of Rayon City right now. So because of that, Mike Organ, by default, by law, part of my community service outreach from the courts, I got to help Mike and bring him on the show. So Mike Organ's in today. We just had a special visitor, Mike. You're on. Yeah, there you go.
Yes, yes.
Do you know the mascot for Nashville SC's name? Oh, God, this is good. Let's see. Mickey, let's play the match game to kind of, okay, the mascot's name is, what do you call, what kind of offense does Josh Heupel run in Knoxville? What's it called?
Tempo.
There we go. Mike got it. Well done.
I was going to say up, but that didn't make much sense. So.
Oh, my goodness. Dr. Curry, we good? All right, let's bring in Scott Ramsey, our good friend, the Scott, welcome in. We have problem. You've got like 19 titles. What's your official title?
Whatever Mike Organ wants to call me.
Oh, but that's, we can't get that on air, Scott.
And speaking of Mike Organ calling you, I do it a lot.
You know, Joe, when Mike calls you, you know it's Mike. I don't know how he got his picture to fill like the whole screen of your phone.
Oh, that is so great.
Close up of his face, and it's like, that's Mike. Mike's calling.
Oh, my God. So you are, you CEO, vice president, chief bottle washer? What are we?
Let's go with the bottle washer.
With all that. All right, so big news. Liberty Mutual, I know it was announced last week, but it's the first time we had a chance to talk to you. This is a great thing, right, for you, for the city, for bowl games, right?
Yeah, it's a really a huge opportunity for us. I think, obviously, you know, corporate sponsorship, you know, is just a mandatory element in today's society, and especially in sports, you know, when you start looking at events and so forth. And we've just been really blessed that we've had a lot of stability with title sponsors where, you know, other events and other bowl games around the country have had a lot of turnover. And this will be our fourth sponsor in 23 years. And that's very unusual, you know. And the other thing that's a little different is this is a Fortune 100 company based in Boston for 110 years that chose to invest in Nashville. And, you know, at a time where – hey, college football and postseason college football is very unsettled right now. So for them to choose Nashville to invest here, you know, I thought was a huge vote of confidence for our city and our event, our organization, and looking forward to getting to really starting a great relationship with them that we hope is long term.
Well, like Mike had said earlier, Scott, I mean, the Liberty Mutual commercials were on all the time. So this is such to use a baseball term, such a home run for you guys. I think it's just wonderful.
No, it is, and I think anytime you get a company that has that kind of presence in the marketplace, it allows you to do some things that, you know, you wouldn't otherwise be able to do. You know, it certainly starts with finances, but more importantly for us, it's sitting down with them and talking strategically is where we want to take the bowl game. I know right now I don't know where it's going to go because nobody in the postseason knows where it's going to go after this year, but I think we're in position to really capitalize on any opportunity that's going to be there. And now we've got a corporate partner with us that that really finances aren't going to be an issue. I don't say that from the standpoint you take that lightly, but if it is a strategy that they want to pursue, that they have the wherewithal to do that.
Scott, where could it go? And you and I talked about this. I mean, and it's so good to have such a strong a corporate sponsor, a partner going with you. But, I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC alignments, this is the final year for those, correct? I mean, you're looking for new to redo those deals or maybe playoffs.
Yeah, we're, you know, it's a little frustrating from our side, but postseason college football right now from the city perspective, and you throw everybody in there, all the bowl games or all the postseason sites, I think the challenging piece right now, Mike, is just you're in a waiting game. The commissioners have to make a decision for 2026 next by December 1st, so a month. Once that's done, then the question is, I mean, there's a lot of rumor out there, and you guys know that hey, they may just extend the 12-team playoff for another year as they continue to evaluate expansion. Well, the challenge for us and every bowl game in every city and every postseason destination is we don't have any contracts beyond this year, a television partner, a conference partner, a stadium lease deal, a title sponsor agreement. Now, we've negotiated some options to extend. Everybody's kind of ahead of that. But when you really just don't have any stability in knowing what the model looks like and who could be playing in your game, which is ultimately your product, it creates a lot of anxiety and uncertainty. Now, on the flip side of that, I like our position better than about anybody in the country. We got a brand new stadium coming. We've got the two power broken conferences that want to be here in the SEC and the Big Ten. ESPN's been our partner for 28 years now, and they really want to maintain a long-term deal with Nashville. So we have the right components to really capitalize on opportunities. Now, what the opportunity is going to be, Mike, to your question, I really don't know right now. I do know that there's an extension of the New Year's Six guys to keep the quarters and the semis for at least another 3 years. Are we going to be looking at three-year increments now and not six-year increments like before? Are we going to look at 1 year next year increment, and then we got to do a 5 year or a 2 year? So we're really in kind of a tough position here to kind of answer that question. But we stand ready once we get a green light to kind of start executing those plans.
Scott, I've covered every Music City Bowl, and one of the things I do a month, maybe 3 to 4 weeks after the bowl game. Well, no. Actually, sooner than that, because that's the economic impact that I'm thinking about. Mm-hmm. The first thing I do is after all the bowls are played, I go through and look at all the attendance. And the Music City Bowl, as far back as I can remember, has had outstanding attendance. And that's what in a time when other bowls have dropped off and are actually dipping year after year. And I know you have two very good conferences right now, the two best conferences mm-hmm. there, and that helps. What are some of the other reasons that your bowl continues to draw such a large crowd?
Well, Mike, I think you got to go back a little bit, probably 20 years, and you really saw travel trends change for bowl games, where when we came in the late 90s, we really got kind of like, the side eye look, because we didn't have a beach, we weren't a destination, and we're in the middle of the country, maybe questionable weather. But I think our destination of Nashville really kind of flipped the script there, along the same time where fans started thinking, you know what, I'd like to be home for Christmas, I'd like to be home for New Year's, but man, I'd love to take a 3 or 4 day trip and find my, and follow my team. And we started kind of fitting that bill. You saw Atlanta be really popular with ACC, SEC. And I think we kind of follow that trend where, hey, we had a lot of fan bases to get here, spend three great days. And for us, that really was perfect because we didn't have any other tourism that time of year. And so I think we really kind of capitalized on the destination of Nashville. And we were very, I don't know the right word, but I think we were very cognizant that we needed to have conference relationships and selection models the best we could, and those changed over the time, to get teams that could really have fan access to our city. And that's helped. And I think, over the years, I just think that's continued to do well. Now, attendance is a challenge. There's no doubt about it postseason. I mean, I think now with the playoff growing to 12, the expectation of so many teams to be in the playoff, and if you miss, the bowl games have probably lost a little perception, if nothing else. But I think the trip to Nashville is fun. You follow your team. You're going to play a high-profile team on a national broadcast. And I think we've continued to kind of really focus in on that kind of experience for the fans.
Talking to Scott Ramsey, the CEO and president. I found your title, Scott. The CEO and president of the National Sports Council is with us on the show today. All right, so next week, I think the College Football Playoff Committee meets. The initial polls come out. Off of that, what I love, Scott, every year is they start doing bowl projections of all these teams that are coming here. That's got to be a lot of fun because you've got all these great programs being mentioned to come to Nashville, and just seeing your name up there, the Music City Bowl, Liberty Mutual Music City Bowl, and like all these possibilities. To me, that would be so much fun part of the job because of the possibilities that all could be coming here to Nashville.
Well, Joe, you call it fun. I call it anxiety. because I think a couple of things kind of go into that from my seat. one, expectations of about four or five fan bases. Well, I saw it on Mike Organ's article that we're coming. You know? And I go, well, I you could be, but you might not be. You know, so I think expectation to manage is one thing from our side. Sometimes they see the media and they think it's kind of a done deal. Secondly, you know, I do think it starts kind of creating a lot of excitement about who we could host in our city. And I think that's a positive thing. But, you know, it's one of those things now that it's really – it's a challenge from our side because we used to have a pretty good feel, and Mike knew that. Sometimes I couldn't tell him directly, but I would kind of have some either-or kind of scenarios. But now, I mean, let's think about just like last year. That final 12 that was revealed on Sunday, it'll be December 7th, there were people right on the cut line, right? It was South Carolina. It was Alabama. Are they in or are they out? And that totally changed your model. And we still do have some kind of guidelines we have to follow. You can't put rematches together. I can only have two of the same teams in the Big Ten in a six-year window. We've already had Iowa twice, so I can't have Iowa. So you've got a lot of kind of things you got to dance around, and you really don't know until that Sunday. So to be prepared and then to immediately be ready to kind of respond to fans and teams and the media and the social media kind of outlets has really created a more of a challenging process there in those last couple weeks.
Scott, for 27 years now?
Your 28th year and 27th game, because we had that cancellation in there, yeah. Mike.
So for 26 years, every Sunday at the end of the season after the ACC championship game, I've called you around 11, and we just kind of we chat a little bit about who's out there and that kind of thing, and then you say call me back around 2:30 or 3. We'll see where we are then. How many times has the two representatives changed on Sunday from what you wake up thinking on Sunday morning it's going to be, and how often does that change?
Good one.
See, this is our 28th game. That's 56 teams. I would say 25% of those.
Wow.
Yeah, that's about what I thought. Because Scott is a great guy, and you really believe when he tells you something, and he'll tell you. He'll say, you know, we're still looking at three teams. He might tell me that on Friday before the Sunday or whatever, but it's very fluid right up until decisions are made. And I would think more so now than ever before.
You're right. Over the years, Mike, it was a little – well, I mean, in the first probably 10 years or so, you think of a draft. It was a draft. I mean, we were in the fourth slot, fifth spot, whatever. And so really the charge from my seat during those last couple weeks was trying to be more predictive of who was going to get selected ahead of me and who would be available. And then who is available, who did we think was the right matchups. So that was a different kind of mentality to attack it, because you're trying to – it's just like a draft. Hey, I may want this guy, but if he's gone, who do we take? And, you know, that kind of thing. Now with the pool in the SEC, with kind of a modified pool in the Big Ten and a lot of flexibility, trying to avoid a lot of repeat trips in any city, repeat matchups, and the 12-team playoff now coming into play at the last minute, it's a lot of kind of either-ors. And, you know, it's either or. If, you know, Missouri last year, Missouri could have fit in a couple places. Ole Miss could have fit in a couple places last year in our pool. Ole Miss could have got up. They might not have got up. South Carolina could have fit in, could have not. So I think right now it's one of those ones where you got to kind of get down the last couple weeks. We got to do our work to kind of be prepared for that Sunday, which is usually two or three or four different kind of models. Because you just can't start the work on Sunday at 2:00 and get caught up. So it's a lot more challenging now to guess. And then Mike, I mean, look at the SEC. You got nine teams right now, 6-2-8-0, and they start playing each other. So, you know, if let's say four get into the top 12, tell me which four those are, and I could probably narrow some things down for you. You know, it's stuff like that.
Well, it's just a – I mean, there's a lot going on. But I think it's good. I know it's anxiety, Scott, but I think it's good. Let me ask you one question. And I don't know if you can answer this or not. Is there one team that's never been here that you would love to have come to Nashville?
Well, it's a good question. You know, I'm pausing because I'm kind of going through. I think most people would say Notre Dame if they hadn't had them. We had them in 2014 against LSU.
Right.
You know, we've been back with the Big Ten now for over 6 years, and certainly, you know, you look at the Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State kind of brands that you'd love to host in your city. I think, you know, on the SEC side, we've only had three teams, not counting Oklahoma, Texas being new, but we only had Florida and South Carolina that have not played here.
Wow.
We had Missouri for the first time last year. So, I don't know if I really have that answer, Joe. I think we've been really blessed with a lot of variety and a lot of opportunities for football fans, if you live locally, to see some great college football players, universities, and great matchups.
All right, Scott, I always do this every year, and obviously I'm going to do it this year. You mentioned the SEC teams that are right there together. Vanderbilt is rolling, and Joe said earlier in the show that Vanderbilt could be a playoff team this year, and they very absolutely could. What are the chances of Vanderbilt coming back to the Music City Bowl, or what does that look like?
Well, Mike, you've covered us a long time, so I think we talked through the two times they've been here. I mean, first time with Bobby Johnson was their first bowl in, 40 years, and then James Franklin came in a few years later, and we had great success. I'll answer it like I've always answered it to you about Vanderbilt. I think it starts probably later this month with a call to Candace and really talking it through. Is it something that we want to talk to the conference about? Do your kids really want to take a trip for a certain reason and get out of town? Or, you know, in the case of like when we had the Bobby Johnson year, you know, Bobby felt like it was a chance for him to kind of build up his Nashville base of supporters and to play here in the market a whole month of December, a team that's going to play in the bowl game here. So I really kind of yield to that conversation, and we'll probably take Candace's lead, you know, based on how these next two or three weeks go. Boy, what great success. I'm really happy for her. I'm really happy for Clark and the players. I know they worked hard at it, and they're getting some great success this year, and I hope it continues for them.
Well, us too. Scott, we always love you, man, because you always come on. Great information. We appreciate you, what you've done for the city. I tell people all the time, you are one of the top 10 most underrated people for our city ever because of what you've done and what you brought to the city. So thank you, my man.
Well, thanks, Joe. Just real quick, if you guys didn't see it today, what a great announcement for our city. 2034 USA Special Olympics Games coming to Nashville. Most of it's going to be at Vanderbilt, but all around our city. I know it sounds like a long way off. They only happen every 4 years, so we made that announcement. Congratulations to the state of Tennessee Special Olympics. It's going to be one special event in 9 years, and it'll be one of those most memorable events I think we've ever hosted.
I had no idea. Thank you for bringing that up, because that is a huge deal for a city.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Yep. All right, Scott, thank you, brother.
Hey, guys, have a good one. Talk to you later.
Yes, sir. Scott Ramsey, National Sports Council, the CEO and president of the National Sports Council. Man, a lot to unpack there. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. Chase McCabe is off today. Mike Organ from the Tennessean sitting in for another 35 minutes and 13. I'm counting down these tickets out of here. Right here on the Chase and Big Joe Show, brought to you by Omni National Hotel, 102.5 The Game.